kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
He brings us together in his presence. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you are always working on our behalf. Lord, we are not aware what goes on, for we see so limitlessly. We see through a dim mirror, a misty glass, as the word says. But Father, we know that from your throne, you are working tirelessly day and night, working within each of us in that redemptive manner and way that you do. Because it's your heart's desire that none should perish, but that we should have eternal life. So Lord, thank you now for our gathering together. And Lord, we ask your blessing over this word. Translate this word into our lives so that we will live it and act it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, I have a title for our teaching today, which we're calling Weariness and Fatigue. Weariness and Fatigue. We all, at times, don't we, can experience a sort of physical and mental fatigue. And it can come out and be expressed in many ways. We know that the Word of God says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Yet there are times we experience this weariness, this fatigue. And I think it's very apt, considering the times that we're in. The world certainly is experiencing it. And sadly, they look around to man for the answers. We know that the confusion and fear is just getting worse. And we can pick this up also in the house of God. We can, to a certain extent, experience what the world is going through. We experience it often not so much because our liberties are being taken away from us or are being put on hold, but we experience it because we see what is happening, what the powers of darkness are doing in the world. We see how people are suffering. We can see it with our own families, how they're suffering, those that do not know Jesus. We know the fear that's being generated through government, through the so-called social media, the propaganda that is so much behind all of this. All of this is to create this weariness, this fatigue. And of course, we hear much now about the concern of mental issues. And they are indeed, and they're going to be awful when we sort of get through a lot of this. Of course, we hear everything being said, all this brighter days coming. Once we get through all of this, it's going to be a lot different and back to normality. Unfortunately, it's not going to be. And if you try and share this and with people, they immediately just shut off. I have never seen such denial manifest as I've seen over this last year. And sadly, it can even be amongst Christians and in the house of God. And why is all of this? It's because there is a weariness and a fatigue. And God wants to help and encourage us that we can rise above all of this, that we can draw off the fact that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that God has mightily blessed us with his presence and with his spirit, and those speaking in tongues, being able to lift those heavy hands up into his presence and just to worship and praise him. If we don't do that, then a lot of it is our fault. And we're going to find that what is going on in the world will start to affect us. And the enemy, of course, wants to use this so that he can work that unbelief and take our minds and hearts off the Lord and off the promises of his word. But it's easy to become weary, especially when waiting for answers to prayer, or when will the Lord rise up and vindicate and bring down his enemies. I think as we go on in our walk with God, I had never appreciated or realized just how many enemies God has. You read it in the Psalms, you read it in the scriptures. But, you know, my eyes over this last 18 months has just been open to the fact that God has so many enemies. And how sad. That is what sin has done. That is what the fall has done. God never created us to be his enemy. He created us out of love, out of blessing, out of relationship. It should never have happened. It's a tragedy. And of course, it took the greatest gift that God has ever given to mankind, and that was his Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem and bring us back into that fellowship and relationship with him. I think with what's going on, and particularly now globally, we're beginning to appreciate, we're beginning to see things in a different light that we didn't see a couple of years ago, or whatever it is. But nevertheless, we do at times feel that weariness, that fatigue. How long, Lord? How long does this go on for? When will you rise up in righteousness? When will you put down your enemy? I'm interested that all those in Revelation that are found under the altar, who are there for 1,000 years, they cry out as well, "How long, Lord, will this go on for?" And that isn't necessarily a wrong thing. If we love the Lord and we love righteousness and we love fairness, we see that there is a world now that is so unfair. Being because everyone is out for themselves. Everyone now loves themselves and is going to get what they want, whatever cost, whoever they hurt, or ever they get out of the way. Unfortunately, they are the times that we are living in. And that is the very spirit that God is delivering us from. Because that's how we lived. That's how we walked. That is how we survived. They're part of the survival tactics. But praise God, he now lives and dwells within our lives, within our hearts, and we find that our whole attitude, thinking, mind, outlook, vision, all has changed. And yet we can, at times, still feel this weariness and fatigue. And I think through this last year, we all of us at times have battled this. And sometimes weariness and fatigue can be just because, when will you answer, Lord? Have you really heard my cries, my prayers, my intercessions? I've found sometimes that I can't pray anymore. I'm just physically exhausted. But they are signs that I'm to stop and to rest and just rest in the presence of the Lord and to just enjoy and be blessed by God's presence. We have to read these signs within us. Because we are human, we are flesh and blood. There is just so much we can take, and God knows that. And he always provides that way of escape if we are listening and we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But not only that, listening to your body. Our body gives out many messages each day. But we're not always attuned to what our body is saying. Sometimes we're just tired. And so it means just rest or get an early night. Something as very basic and simple as that. Now I know sometimes that we are tested. We do sometimes go that extra mile. Sometimes there are things that occur, that come up, that we help, that needs our help or whatever it is. I'm aware of all of that. But we still have to trust that God knows how much we can take. And sometimes he allows us to go right to the limit, right to the breaking point. But he won't let us go over unless we turn our back on him, unless we rebel, unless we decide we're going to do it in our own strength. This is why God is teaching us to let go. He's teaching us and showing us that he is the one that can and will do it through us. And that is why sometimes he allows us to go to the end of ourselves, where there's nothing left within us. Then God can take over. I only had a sister talking with me this week, a trial she's going through with her husband, and coming to the end of herself, I can't take any more of this, and so forth. And I got in prayer. And about 20 minutes later, she texts me back. She said, you know, God has just shown me, let go. I thought, praise the Lord. She's hearing God at last. And she did. And guess what? God takes over. Because we're not going to go under, which is the devil's lie. God, the devil becomes very vocal. When we feel, you know, I must be in control, I've got to hold it together, the family will go under if I don't, or so on, and the devil is so loud, and God's still small voice is just simply saying, trust me, just let go, and I will take over. We've all been there, haven't we? And we're all still a work in progress, learning this fundamental principle of God. Why does it take us so long, I ask myself. Well, God knows. That's why we're getting delivered. And that's why we're calling this teaching today, Weariness and Fatigue. But it's easy to become weary. And we can become weary when we're waiting for God, when we're waiting to see God, when we're waiting for the manifestation of our faith or our prayers or whatever it is. And this is why God delays so often manifestation to our prayers, to our faith, because these are the things that he is teaching us. We're all waiting for faith to be answered. I can probably guarantee everyone who's listening to this teaching today is waiting for faith to manifest in answers to prayer. I can guarantee that one, because I am as well. And so he very often delays these manifestations for the very purpose so that we do not interfere. We do not get in the way. So often we get in the way of our faith. This is why I say so often, God wants us to have a simple, childlike faith. Because a child doesn't try to interfere or control in which mummy and daddy has promised that child something. And of course, earthly parents will do all they can in which to give what they promise to their child. Well, how much more with our Heavenly Father? And yet we get in the way. And it's not until God opens our eyes do we then see where we get in the way. Did you know that unbelief gets in the way of God manifesting the faith, your faith? Unbelief. Did you know fear gets in the way of God working? Did you know that rebellion gets in the way of God answering? You see, we tend to think in letting go, it's somehow something physical. You know, like putting that cup down or closing a door or something like that. It's not that. It is in the spirit. Your hindrances are in the spirit. You are spiritual. You worship God in spirit and in truth. You walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. So it is in the spirit that he's getting you to let go. That is where it is. Fear is a spiritual oppression. And so fear has to be dealt with. And the way it is dealt with, by letting it go. And then God takes over. And when God takes over, that is the answer to your faith. That is faith. Because Jesus is our faith. He's the goal to our faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And so that is what it means when we let go. Am I in confusion over some things? Then you have to let go of that confusion and leave it with God, and he will take over, because he is the answer. He is the light. He is the way. He is the truth. And this is where we can get weary, we can get fatigue, because the enemy becomes so vocal. Well, God isn't answering, is he? Look at it. You've been in prayer as a church, you've got into this warfare and so on, you've fasted, and what's happening? Well, when you look at it, it's getting worse, isn't it? A lot of what we have been praying about and coming on Zoom and our prayer meeting, have you noticed when you listen to the so-called news, well, it's getting worse. It doesn't look as though God's answering our prayers. Oh, what's happening? And you feel that weariness, you feel that fatigue, you feel that heaviness. Is this really worth it? Is this happening? And so on. Oh, I feel it, brothers and sisters. I most certainly do. But you know something? Turn that round for good. Why are we feeling like that? Why are we being pushed down? Why is it we're battling weariness and fatigue? Why is it the enemy is so vocal? Why is it he's attacking this assembly, FGA? Well, it gives itself away, doesn't it? Because these are the very signs that God is hearing our prayers. He is dealing in the spirit, in warfare. He's raised that standard against the enemy. God doesn't make a mistake. And this is where we have to trust him with that childlike faith that he has given to us. Well, let's turn to some scriptures. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. There you go. Well, we believe we're doing good because we believe we're being led by the Holy Spirit. We're doing what God wants. And so he says here, don't be weary in doing good. I wonder why the apostle said that, eh? I can tell you why. Because he went through exactly the same. And he not only went through it himself, but he's encouraging the saints. Look, I've gone through this. I'm speaking from experience. But I have seen God vindicate. I have seen God raise his banner. I have seen him deliver me out of every situation. He speaks from experience. And we speak from experience. Here we are today, still going on. Here we are in this meeting. Who's doing all of this? Not you, not me. It's Almighty God working on our behalf. Encouraging us to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Galatians. Let's look at Galatians. Sometimes we just need to encourage ourselves, encourage one another in the faith. That's what I feel today. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. Galatians chapter 6, 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Here it is, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There we go. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. There you are, brothers and sisters. Hold on to that. That's the apostles made no mistake there. That is inspired by the Holy Spirit to encourage us. It's on the grounds of sowing and reaping where we believe that we're sowing to the things of the Spirit. That's why we get together. That's why we pray together. That's why we pray and seek God. Because it's that sowing to the Spirit. And he knows that sowing sometimes can look negative. Sometimes you can just feel weary and fatigued. But he says there will come a reaping because we know that a harvest is at the right time and season. Our four seasons that we experience in this world, you can't rush them, you can't change them. It will show its signs in its right time and way. And if you go out for a walk now, you will begin to see those little shoots, those little signs of spring now coming. All in God's right time and season. And it's so uplifting. That's why I encourage you to try and get out and have a walk. Not only is the exercise helpful to you, but it helps you to appreciate You see those little signs showing, and it helps at times this weariness and fatigue. Because they have us locked up like prisoners, working fear in which to do this. And so there are ways that we can get around this, brothers and sisters. Because I'm very aware how the enemy wants to put depression on us. But we resist it. And he says, don't let us grow weary while doing good. We're doing good. We're doing good today, now, here, in this room. This is doing good. This is what God wants. For in due season you will reap. So he says, don't lose heart. You will reap. Your prayers will be answered. Our prayers will be answered, FGA. We will see the enemy put to flight. Do you know something? That all the while the church is still in this world, before she's going to be taken out, our prayers are redemptive. Our prayers are still bringing mercy and grace to this ungodly world. Our prayers are causing God to pour rain on the just and the unjust. That is what you are doing. That is what the church is about, particularly at this time. Because the governments, the news, are giving such a negative report to the world. But your prayers intervene in all of that. Your prayers, the church's message, the church's light in the world, still brings a good news of the gospel. Because when the church is taken away and caught away, it is going to be like all hell let loose on earth, with the Antichrist then coming forward. So don't lose heart. God has not made any mistake through any of us. Hallelujah. And that's why we as Christians, we do a lot of sowing. In many ways, we're spiritual farmers. We're out in the fields. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, it's there. The fields are there. And we are sowing, we are watering, we are looking after it. We might not see the harvest in this life, but we will in eternity. We will see those prayers that have been answered. So don't grow weary. Don't feel like giving up. Or whatever it is, and I know that can be very, very real. There are times I just feel like running away. I think sometimes I dream of going to some lovely island where there's just a few people and a simple, uncomplicated life. Oh, bliss. But no, because I know wherever I go, I take it with me. You see, that is the devil's lie. And sadly, we've lost some of our brothers and sisters who've listened to that lie. But praise God, we are of another spirit. And we're looking up because our redemption is drawing near. We know that the Lord is coming soon. Hallelujah. But this sowing, what is all this sowing about? Well, it's sowing love, isn't it? Sowing that peace, that joy. It's loving the unlovable. And we're all tested at times in that. That is sowing. Our prayers, our intercessions, that is sowing. Going that extra mile, that is sowing. Building relationships with brothers and sisters in the house of God, that is sowing. are steps of faith in the unknown. That is sowing. We're called to be peacemakers wherever we can, to pursue that peace, even with our enemies. That is sowing. Putting ourselves last, taking up that cross, dealing with the self-life, that is sowing that it speaks about. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit, what? Reap everlasting life. This is all about us making it into the kingdom of God for eternal life. So we don't grow weary in doing good, because in due season we shall reap. So don't lose heart, brothers and sisters. God is on the throne. He's made no mistake. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 15? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. He understands. He knows. It's not in vain. It's going to bring great reward. And he says, just be steadfast. Just stay with it. Immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And there we are. And that's our heart's desire. If you love the Lord Jesus and you're truly born again of the Spirit, then you want to do the work of the Lord. There's just something within you instinctively wants to do it. Did you know our coming today is part of the work of the Lord? It's what he wants. And it's not in vain if it's in the Lord. That's the thing. If it's in yourself and what you want to do, then it's not really going to be blessed. But if it's in the Lord, it is not in vain, as he says, hallelujah. I could just give you myriads of scriptures out of the Bible with regard to what we're talking about today. I mean, it's just, they're there in every chapter. And the Psalms, it's all there to help and encourage us. You see, there are times when it seems that there's just nothing happening. And I think at the moment, that is exactly what we're going through. It just seems as though all our efforts, all our prayers, all this year now, and what we have learned, and our eyes and ears being open to so much, it feels as though there's nothing happening. Well, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. 14 and 15 of 2 Peter chapter 3. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to those things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, as written to you. So there we are. It is the long suffering of our Lord for the purpose of salvation. And the very reason it seems at times as though nothing is happening, it seems as though God isn't doing anything, it is always redemptive. It is for the purpose of salvation. It is not in the Father's heart that any should perish. That is not his heart. And sadly, it's going to happen. but that it's not his heart, and he's going to move, if need be, heaven and earth to save souls, to save us, to save us at times from ourselves. That is the Father's heart. And the apostle clearly picks this up because he says from Paul, because of the wisdom that's given to him, as it is written to you. So he sees, Peter, what God is doing through that man. And what God was doing through that man, that some will be saved. And that is why God works in the nature that he does. And at times, you know, we just do it. If it means we've just got to wait, if it means nothing visibly is happening at the moment, well, so be it. But God is on the scene. It's redemptive. That is the point. And we will in time see. And that's why, because God works that way, the enemy uses that one and he tries to tell you, you've missed it. You've lost it. See, God didn't hear, or whatever it is. You see, the enemy knows that what God does is always redemptive, and therefore it takes time in which God works out his plans. And as God is working out his plans, the enemy, the serpent, that is what a serpent is, slimy, deceitful, can get in through the little cracks. He gets in and whispers those little words. Well, nothing's happening, is it? You're not seeing anything in your labours. There's nothing much coming from your prayers. All these promises that you have been taught over the years, there's not much fruit coming from them, is there? Does it sound familiar? Of course it does. Well, why is he doing that? Why is he suggesting that? You see, we eventually wake up, don't we? And we realise he gives himself away. And he's doing it because he knows he can't attack you, your salvation. But what he is going to try and have a go is, he's going to try and make you weary. He's going to try and make you tired. He's going to try and bring you down in depression. Because that makes you inactive. It sort of causes you to procrastinate. Oh, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Oh, I don't feel like it now, and I'll just leave me alone, and so forth. We've all been through it. He's very, very clever, very cunning. But God says, don't listen to it. I am on the scene. I am working. And that's why we're baptized, empowered by the Holy Spirit for that very purpose, to help us, to encourage us, to empower us so that we can overcome the flesh where the enemy attacks and works. Let's turn also to the book of James. James touches on this as well. James chapter 5. Verses 7 to 9, James chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. So there's a latter rain to come in. And you are part of the latter rain that's now being brought into the storehouse, that's going to be presented upon the altar. If we've had the former, we now have the latter. And so it says the farmer waits for this. And that is what he's doing. He's waiting in this. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So in our waiting, it means that our hearts are established. In other words, we get it from the head to the heart, so that your heart is wholly involved in this work that God is doing and are waiting on him. And he says, and this is a warning that he gives us, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. It's very easy to grumble when it seems God isn't doing anything. Now, does that sound familiar to something in the scriptures? Yes, it does. That's exactly what the children of Israel did. And they perished as a result of that. And they wanted to stone Moses and raise up another leader. They started grumbling against one another. And that's exactly what the devil tries to do. And he'll work that through weariness and fatigue. So we need to be on our guards. We need to be discerning. We need to be aware what the enemy tries to get up to. But we're told that the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. And you are that precious fruit. And Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. And that fruit is developing in our lives, that we are fruitful unto the Lord. And so this waiting on God is also that resting, that he has it under complete control. And this brings me finally to our very familiar verse that we know and we also sing a chorus to in Isaiah 40 and verse 31. In Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. There we are. Even Isaiah is aware of this weariness and this fatigue. And he's had to experience that himself. He's talking from experience here as the Holy Spirit quickens this and leads him to write this. He knows all about this. He says that God renews our strength as we wait on the Lord. And in due season, we will mount up with those wings of eagles, because there are times we have to fly high. Flying high in the sky gives us discernment. We can see. You can't see in the valleys. You can't see on the ground. Sometimes you have to rise up to be able to see the bigger picture. But there are times and seasons for that. You cannot always keep in that place, because you won't take it. You'll take it for granted. You won't understand it spiritually. Even an eagle has to have times to rest or go in the cleft of the rock. There are times that that eagle can't keep seeing and viewing from that height. So how much more with us? So there are times that we're in the valley. We're amongst the demon possessed. And then there are times we fly up way above it for a purpose and a reason. And he says they shall run and not be weary. So there are times when we're weary, we feel we've got no strength. And yet he says, when you wait on him, you will run. What does this running mean? It means that we move forward spiritually. We keep up with God. We hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. But there can be times when it's hard to keep up with God. We feel we can't keep up with him. I'm getting left behind. And sometimes you feel that. It just means rest. Just wait on him. And you'll walk and not faint, because we're walking with the Lord. And there are times that this walking goes on and on and on, and you feel, Lord, I just need to sit down. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. And he says, then wait on me. Come in to me. Come into your closet. Just wait. Just be in my presence. Sometimes you don't have to talk always to the Lord. Sometimes I just go into the presence and say, Father, I haven't a clue what to say, but I'm just in your presence, and your presence and my presence will communicate. And whatever comes out of it is going to be a blessing. But it's waiting on God. It's a fact, because sometimes you're just weary, you're fatigued, you're tired. And so, brothers and sisters, there we are. I felt I wanted to help and encourage you. And I do speak from experience in this. Believe me, I do know what it is to go through these things. I do understand what you're going through more than you realize, because God places it on my heart to have the privilege to be able to just get in prayer and intercession. And I'm sure you do likewise as well. As I've said so often as I close, we go as far as you get in prayer over this word that we receive week after week. We go as far as we're prepared to put into it in our prayers and intercessions. That's why I keep saying, pray for this word. Pray for the word, that what we receive is fresh manna that we can feast of every time we come together.
Let him in constancy follow.